What's up, everybody? Welcome to Kinda Funny Games Daily for Tuesday, June 19th, 2018.
I'm not going to lie. I thought these were going to make noise.
They don't make noise.
They just shoot out their thing.
They're super weird when they don't make noise.
That's really awkward. I'm one of your hosts, Greg Miller, alongside the busiest lady in the business, Andrea Renee.
What's good, Greg?
It's our one-year anniversary.
Yay! It's our birthday.
Kinda Funny Games Daily debuted on June 19th, 2017, right after Kinda Funny Live 3. You might be saying, man, a whole year ago, what were the top stories, Greg? Well, I went back and looked. Number one was no crossplay for PlayStation.
Oh, the irony.
Crazy how things have changed. Followed up by IO getting Hitman, E3 and the ramifications of it being open to the public, and then Atari Box. .com being announced and everything else out there. What a year it's been, Andrea Renee.
It's been wonderful, Greg.
We kick it to Tim from Toronto, who writes into kindoffunny.com/KFGD and says, happy one-year anniversary, Kinda Funny Games Daily. Congrats on producing the best video/podcast summary of the video game news that we need to know about. Thank you for putting in the hard work to create the show each and every weekday, even on holidays like Memorial Day. My question is, what has been your favorite moment from the first year of Kinda Funny Games Daily? Thanks, Tim from Toronto. Andrea, what stands out for you? First year, 1 year, Kinda Funny Games Daily.
I think some of the most fun moments we've had are when we've had some guests on the show.
Oh, sure.
So I had quite a few different guests over the years. But really, like, my favorite part about the show is everybody who writes in to the website, kindoffunny.com/KFGD.
Yeah.
The really awesome questions, some super thought-provoking, some silly, some rants, some really heartfelt, some amazing fake-out segues. Like, it's just been, like, the best friends are really what makes the show what it is.
100%. I think, think about the first year. It's hard to believe it's only been a year. It feels so much longer
in a good way.
Just, I guess, doing a daily show over and over and over again. Standouts for me when you ask this question, Tim. Yeah, Andrea hits it. I think the people who have written in, the people who we get to speak for who don't usually have a voice. I, of course, always love when Steven from Able Gamers writes in to teach us something we didn't know about what it's like to play video games with a disability. I think of Danny's goodbye episode when Andy went through all the trouble of animating all the background stuff to be stupid Irish cliche stuff. And then, of course, I think the best moment we've had in this year is when I read some news story and Gary totally drifted away. And Gary, what do you think? He's like, I can't lie to you. I was miles away.
Was not listening.
Miles away. But it's been a great year. Kevin, you got anything that stands out for you? You're always over there on the mic over there, the Kev mic.
No.
Okay.
No. Nothing that stands out. Like, I'm glad today is running well.
Yeah, well, knock on wood.
Any day that runs good, any second,
that could end for us, and you know that if you don't know that. If you didn't know, ladies and gentlemen, this is Kinda Funny Games Daily. Each and every weekday in a variety of platforms, we run you through the nerdy video game news you need to know about. If you like that, be part of the show. KindaFunny.com/KFGD with your questions, comments, bad PSN names, and everything else under the video game sun. Then watch us record it live on twitch.tv/KindaFunnyGames. If you're watching live, you have a special job. Go to KindaFunny.com/YoureWrong. And tell us what we screw up as we screw it up so we can set the record straight for everybody watching later on youtube.com/kindoffunnygames and listening on podcast services around the globe. You know, it's housekeeping time, of course. It's not even on the sheet. Andrea, hey, congratulations on EA.
Thank you, Greg.
What was that like hosting the EA press conference at E3?
I was so nervous that morning, even though we had rehearsed so many times.
Yeah.
And, you know, I was feeling confident about the material and how all the segments were coming together. But, I mean, you still, like, every performer, I think, still gets those, like, jitters right before you walk on stage. And, like, the audience is now full of people instead of, you know, just a couple of people watching rehearsals. But it was great. I thought I had a really great time getting to talk with and spend, you know, time with developers from all of the different studios during rehearsals was such a privilege, and being able to have like candid conversations with them about E3 and about their projects was really great. Obviously, people have varying opinions on the actual conference itself.
Everybody likes you, though.
People were very kind.
Yeah.
For the most part. There were a couple jerks out there, but I mean, it's the internet.
It was the thing of, I was super proud of you, period, but then super proud of, not our audience, because you expect the Best Friends to be great, but when you announced it, when it all started leading up to it, the fact that even like on Reset Era, it was like, oh man, Andrew's a great pick for this, blah, blah. It wasn't like, what the fuck, blah, blah, blah. It was like, oh no, everybody was actually like genuinely excited. And it seemed like, yeah, everybody liked your performance out there.
Yeah, it was, people were very nice. I got a lot of really positive feedback after the show, and it was great. And, you know, I had a lot of fun working with the BioWare team in particular.
Yeah.
Like getting to work with that team. I remember the first rehearsal I had with Casey and Mark, and we were doing a video conference, and you know, they showed me the trailer that opened the segment, and I saw it for the first time, and I was just like, oh my God, this is so amazing. And I was like, I'm sorry, I'm trying not to fangirl out right now. I'm going to maintain my professionalism, I promise. But you know, Casey just laughed at me, which is fine. But yeah, it was great.
Well, great. Welcome back.
Thank you.
Kevin.
Yep.
Torture. Make her remind, you got to make her, you know, we can't let her think it's good outside of here. All right. She's got to understand this is life.
Wait, what? What?
And other piece of housekeeping, we're brought to you by Brooklyn and MeUndies, but I'll tell you about that later. For now, let's begin the show with what is and forever will be the Roper Report. Time for some news. Five items on the Roper Report.
A baker's dozen.
Kevin, very, very good performance today. I know yesterday was hard coming out of the blocks. You had taken a week off from all the bits and the jingles and the whatnots. You killed it right there, and I love you.
Kevin, do you know that the Twitch channel, twitch.tv/kindoffunnygames, still says E3 2018 Nintendo Conference?
It does not.
No, it's a weird caching thing that Twitter does. Mm. I've yelled at him about stuff like that, too, and then you go there, and it's like, oh, no, it says the right thing. This is a Twitter problem, you know?
There we go. Jerks. Well, I was just tweeting to make sure people know that they could join the celebration live.
That's what I like to see.
We got balloons, y'all.
First story on the Roper Report, a follow-up to yesterday's thing, which was a follow-up to the E3 thing, which is, it's never going to stop. Don't worry, talking about PlayStation, Fortnite, and these cross shenanigans, as I'm calling them.
Shenanigans!
Former SOE head John Smedley chimed in on Twitter, actually responding yesterday to my tweet about Kind of Funny Games Daily, talking about the Fortnite thing. In his Twitter response, of course, when we talk about what's going on, PlayStation's business strategy of not supporting cross-play, but also, like, you know, your cross account on Epic. John tweeted, if we keep the pressure up, this problem goes away. By the way, when I was at Sony, the stated reason internally for this was money. Of course, John's talking about the fact that SOE had things like DC Universe Online, where you could have, you know, it was on PlayStation 3 originally, on PC, eventually came to Xbox, on PlayStation 4. And they obviously had other games that went all over, including Free Realms. Does that sound right? Free Realms sounds right. Kindoffunny.com/you're wrong. By the way, when I was at Sony, the stated reason internally for this was money. They didn't like someone buying something on an Xbox and it being used on a PlayStation. Simple as that. Dumb reason, but there it is. Of course, this is one of the reasons I hypothesized yesterday while this conversation was still ongoing. But I appreciate over at Eurogamer, Wesley Yin Poole added this. In the context of Fortnite, this would mean Sony doesn't like the idea of a player on Xbox buying a character skin via Xbox Live, parentheses, and in the process handing Microsoft a 30% cut of the revenue, end parentheses, then logging into the PlayStation 4 version and being able to use that same skin on their persistent cross-platform character when playing the game on Sony's console. End section from Eurogamer. No surprise there. Right?
I mean,
I think we all could have hypothesized the
giant
reason.
Duh. Yeah, of course it's about the money. And that is why PlayStation has dug their heels in on this issue.
Yeah.
Clearly they've heard the roar around it, right?
Yeah.
But like, they're not just going to hard pivot, nor I don't think their infrastructure can. Look at how long the PlayStation community has been waiting to change their PlayStation IDs, right? Mm-hmm, so mm-hmm. Even if they wanted to just like flip a switch, it's just from a technological standpoint, not that simple. And there's a lot of stakeholders in this argument. So I hope that they will at least give players the opportunity working with Epic to unlock their account.
Yeah.
So if they want to take their account to a platform, they can. But, you know, you and I were talking about this before we went live today. My biggest thing was like, obviously, this is something that would be good for gamers, and I think that should happen.
Yeah.
I'm not holding my breath because literally no other publisher does this, right? It's like, you can't, like I was saying, is you can't log into Rainbow Six on Xbox and buy a bunch of skins and then log into Rainbow Six on PlayStation and like have all of your skins there. That's just not the way it works, you know? So like the idea that Epic is being held to this standard and saying like, well, you have to make this happen. You're the biggest game in the world. It's kind of like, well, no, they don't. Look at Minecraft. You know, if Minecraft couldn't get it done, which is still a bigger game than Fortnite, then I don't know why people are, you know, beating their drums so loud.
I'm sorry.
sorry.
Just no, I've just ranted a lot about this. Just you could talk.
Just put a pin in this. Like, I'm with you guys that it would be great, and I think that this would be good for gamers, and I think that it should happen.
Yeah.
I just don't. I'm not optimistic that it's going to happen.
For me, I think you're not wrong. You're saying true facts. I just feel that the reason people are ratcheted up about this, the reason people are banging their drums, is that they see it's possible. And that, yeah, sure, it hasn't happened with a game like Rainbow Six before, or Call of Duty, or whatever multi-platform game you want to talk about. The fact that with Fortnite in particular, the walls have already fallen down, where it is, okay, cool, PC to PlayStation to mobile all works, right? Mm-hmm. You see it on the other side of Xbox to Switch to PC to mobile all works. It's the fact that, well, why is it just not working on this one thing? What is the problem there, and why can't it happen? And
totally.
And that's, for me personally, again, my the flag I'm waving is the cross progression. That's the one I'm riled up by. Crossplay, I think, should happen. I showed on Twitter and Instagram right over the weekend, like, playing all the Switches together in one phone was awesome, and I hadn't expected that to be rad and cool. And as Jen and I get into it, as everybody here is starting to play, we all started bringing our Switches now for lunch breaks, getting ready for Smash 2. There's this different vibe to it that I haven't investigated, but it is the idea that, okay, at what point do you go, it's what's happened before and that's how it's always been, and now we're at this breaking point where clearly things are changing, and how do you make them change, and what is the way to make it all happen? And obviously that's what John's talking about. If we keep the pressure up, this problem goes away. But to your point, like, and to a lot of people's points, like, this is it spawned very interesting discussions, I feel, whether it be on my Twitter, in the comments of this video, on Reset Era, of like, well, what is the expectation, right? Because even yesterday, I feel like I didn't do a great job of explaining my thing the way I wanted to in my stance, because I felt like I started drifting, and I stopped myself from saying entitled, or saying whatever, and then Tim's like, because it makes you sound entitled. And I'm like, exactly, I get it, I understand. And like, I feel like the easiest solution, if Sony wants to be like, okay, cool, we've heard everything, crossplay's not happening, we're PlayStation, we don't need to do that with Xbox and Switch, we don't want to do that, they're competitors to us, and also we don't want to give you cross progression. That is another thing of this, I mean, is what I hypothesized yesterday, Wesley saying here, right, the 30% going to Microsoft and all that. That's, I think, I don't agree with it necessarily, because I think I'm a good example right now of like, okay, cool, I have this new account, and I started spending money on my Switch yesterday, and that if I was playing it elsewhere, maybe I would have spent it on PlayStation. But still, they want to say no cross progression. The easiest solution is, we're taking away this restriction on the accounts that, that you're locked to it. Because I feel, I'm lucky enough that I played Fortnite a few times on PlayStation 4, more than a few. I've played it, a handful of times. I've now gotten the bug here on Switch, and that's where I'm playing, and great. I didn't have that much money. I think I bought my Battle Pass on PS4. I'm walking away from a minimal investment. Who cares? But it is these horror stories I see of, I'm a PC player, I've put in $150, I've done all this, I played on PlayStation, I linked it to PlayStation just because, or I linked it to play with a friend once, and now I'm screwed. And of course, there's the counter argument of like, well, you did this without reading the terms of service. Like, I'm sure buried in there, it said that somewhere.
And that's such a, while that, of course, is a legal argument, it feels kind of bullshit, right?
I agree. No, I totally think it's bullshit. I'm just saying, like, as we go back and forth and talk to each other.
They know that people are going to get upset. The thing that I would love to see is, I want people to make the money argument to PlayStation, instead of just standing on a mountain and being like, I deserve this, how dare you, I'm your consumer. Like, that's not the way to go about this. You kind of got a Game of Thrones this, right? I feel like, no, I'm serious, right?
You're right.
If there was somebody out there who would make like a PowerPoint presentation to John Cadera, where we tell him, hey, if you unlock it and let people have their primary account on PS4, but then also let them play on other platforms, think about how much more money people would spend in the PS4 ecosystem instead of just outright quitting like you have and going full sale to another platform.
Right.
Because obviously this comes down to money. There's no surprise about that. But in my mind, I'm like, there's got to be a way for you to make even more money if you unlock it. Because if you're like Greg, and you're like very much in the PlayStation family.
Sure.
And like
you, Sony Pony, they call me.
You have a lot of money in your wallet and you're ready to shell out for those skins.
Sure.
You're likely to buy them on your home platform.
Right.
But you are now mad because there's this bullshit rule and it seems stupid. Why can't they fix it? And there's a lot of reasons that PR isn't fully explaining to us. And so I'm like, what? We just need someone to convince Sony that like you can make more money if you do this. And I think once we can make that argument and show it, then they'll be like, oh, We can make more money if we unlock it. Why didn't we think of that? I don't know if that's true or not, I want someone to make this PowerPoint.
I still very much believe this is a moot point. This is going to get repealed, changed. There's going to be something coming down the pipeline of right. Hey, we've heard you and this is what it's going
to
do.
I just don't think they're ready to do it. Clearly, they weren't ready for 2 million immediate downloads on Switch, sure. Right? Not that they really care, because I think they still have the bulk of the Fortnite players sure. on PlayStation. As far as like the consoles go, I have no idea what PC numbers look like. But if Epic had maybe been in communication with them a little bit more clearly, perhaps they could have messaged something ahead of time to be like, hey, we know you guys are super excited about playing on your Switch. We're going to work on and see how we can get PlayStation and Switch to play nice together.
You bring up another wrinkle that I've seen in my Twitter feed, on Reset, everywhere else, of just like, well, why is no one saying anything to Epic on this front, right? Does at the time of all this happening, did Epic reach out to PlayStation and be like, hey, we're about to put on that Switch thing. You sure you don't want to do this because it's going to look real bad? Or is that like, is it similar to us where we had no idea our PSNs were account, that somebody at PlayStation knew that, hey, this is going to happen when this happens, but...
There's some conversations happening, but I think what's happening is they're happening under duress, for lack of a better phrase, because Tim Sweeney has come out multiple times, starting, I think it was at back at GDC, and was like, and is poking the bear, right? Hey, why aren't you allowing cross-play?
Well, if you're talking about poking the bear, it was Game Awards. Donald Mustard was up there about it. Oh my gosh,
right? They're still talking about it, and they're still saying, like, the directive is coming down from the top, and this is the message that the company overall is saying. I've spoken to PR people, at Epic about this and around Epic about this, but like, this is like what we want as a company, and we're just kind of going to beat this drum ourselves too.
Yeah.
And I'm like, you guys know better. You guys know that that's not the way to accomplish your goal, is to like, be like, we're Epic and we're going to do whatever we want.
Yeah.
I mean, you can do that, but maybe it's not the path of least resistance.
Well, and that's the whole thing too. You remember a while ago now, I don't care. You're wrong me on this. I'm not going to throw out a date. But a while ago now, there was a day where they accidentally hit the Switch, and it was everybody was playing crossplay together, right? And it was like, oh, right. And Rocket League said as much as well, that if PlayStation would be cool with it, we could flip a Switch pretty much and be done with it in super time. So there's a lot of moving parts to it. I feel that now that there's is Fortnite, which is involved, like the biggest game going now, there will be change for it. But another important thing to do, because the majority, again, that have been talking about this have been doing it the right way. Remember that everyone connected to this is a human being. That, you know what I mean? Like, even if it is a business move, even if it is Cloak and Dagger, the highest of the high at Sony, and we don't even know who's saying this is the problem, or it is somebody at Epic, like, there's a way for us to voice all of this and not turn it into pitchforks and flaming tea torches.
And I think and obviously, like, I have a different stake in this because my husband works at PlayStation. Full disclosure, if you guys
Crash
didn't
Bandicoot, right?
Yes, exactly. If you didn't already know, but I want to see this happen as much as everybody else. But I think it's important to remember that, like, this type of a monumental change and the way the business is run is not going to happen quickly.
Sure.
Right. So if we if we can't even get PlayStation IDs changed, just remember that this kind of change, if someone finally at the top of Sony's business, if Kadera is finally like, hey, we're ready to do this, our techs just need some time to make it happen.
Right.
Like, just know that first off, getting to that point where Sony says, okay, we're on board for cross platform, then actually implementing it is not something that's just going to be like, okay, it's done.
Yeah. It'll be fascinating. I think that, again, a year ago, the lead story was no crossplay for Minecraft on PlayStation.
It's ironic.
But I think that this is a year removed, shows a much different place in the industry and how Fortnite's a different game. Where for Minecraft, it was like, well, whatever. All right. I don't think of that on that way. And like, granted, I'm not saying Minecraft isn't huge and doesn't have a multiplayer audience, but it wasn't all of us. Whereas with Fortnite, it's so weird to see 10-year-olds playing it, and then I sign on and Adam Boyes is still playing. You know what I mean? Like, it's everywhere.
I think that's just because you weren't in the Minecraft community.
100%. But I also think that the majority of our audience wasn't, in the way of like, this is a huge deal. Why can't I play cross-platform with Minecraft?
Yeah.
Now the fight's come to us.
Well, because I think kids who are playing don't care about cross-platform.
Sure.
I mean, if they have it, great. But I don't think they're going to like go to the internet forums and be like, you suck, PlayStation.
Adir, John Kadera. We will keep watching. We will keep seeing. Here's more PlayStation news for you. I dropped this in a little bit, sprinkled this in, I should say, into the reader mail yesterday, but we have a little bit more hard stuff from Rich Stanton over at Kotaku UK talking about PSN Now, or no, I'm sorry, PlayStation Now downloads might be incoming soon. A rumor recently did the rounds suggesting that Sony's PlayStation Now service, which is basically an on-demand games library that can be streamed, would be getting offline functionality. An industry source was able to confirm to Kotaku UK that downloads are coming to PlayStation Now and add some detail. The functionality is due to roll out in late September this year, but will be limited to PlayStation 4 games, parentheses, at least initially. Yes, that means your dream of playing Demon's Souls on PlayStation 4 remains just that. There's a little bit more information, but I like the fact that he went to a source, had a little bit more info on the rumor. Back to this September thing we were talking about yesterday. I'm telling you, they could put it all together. You saw our E3 presentation. It was AAA games. That's great. Now we're doing... it's Sid Schumann and Ryan Clements and Ramon over at the PlayStation blog. It is just a little event somewhere we're talking. Let's talk about all the nerd shit. Geo comes out and he's just like, guess what, everybody? PlayStation Now is getting downloads. You can change your PSN name and you can play the cross-platform support. Or not play, cross-play, but the cross-platform epic thing is there. There you go, dorks. You got everything you wanted.
That would be awesome.
And then they're like, also, here comes Slide, an easy PlayStation Platinum that is out in Europe for some reason and they refuse to release here. What are you hiding, Shuhei Yoshida?
I think that would be great. I mean, we're seeing a lot of companies really kind of shifting to this digital model, not just the platform holders, but I mean, look at EA's announcement at E3 2 with Origin Access Premier, you know, and Ubisoft and Uplay and everything they're doing there. You know, it's the digital future is nigh.
It is. Everything's changing, everybody. It's an exciting time to be a Kevin.
Kevin?
Yeah, I'm here. I didn't think that warranted a response.
Number three, an interesting one. Microsoft has issued a statement about border separations. This is via Rebecca Valentine at gamesindustry.biz. Microsoft has issued a formal statement regarding the U.S. Immigration and Customs Enforcement's ICE. Forcible separation of children and parents at the border. In it, the company condemned these actions and urged Congress to pass legislation against the practice. The statement came in response to recent criticism for Microsoft's ongoing contract with ICE to develop and improve the Azure government program for the agency's IT, cloud data, and other technology needs. Here's the statement. We are not aware of Azure or Azure services being used for this purpose, parentheses, separation of families, the statement reads. As a company, Microsoft is dismayed by the forcible separation of children from their families at the border. Family unification has been a fundamental tenet of American policy and law since the end of World War II. As a company, Microsoft has worked for over 20 years to combine technology with the rule of law to ensure that children who are refugees and immigrants can remain with their parents. We need to continue to build on this noble tradition rather than change course now. We urge the administration to change its policy and Congress to pass legislation ensuring children are no longer separated from their families. End statement. I thought it was an interesting one, Andrea. To go to gamesindustry.biz and see the real news cross over into our, why can't I play with my toys on all the systems?
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of people online who are taking departures from their normal content to say, like, this is something that we need to signal boost and to spotlight.
Yeah.
Felicia Day is somebody whose feed I've been following for a long time. And, you know, she kind of made an announcement yesterday. She's like, I'm sorry, my feed isn't, like, super jovial right now. But yeah. It's hard to ignore all the atrocities that are happening.
Right.
And she's right.
She's 100% right. Yeah.
You know, we love the video game business for its escapism. And I think escapism is something that we all need in our lives, particularly in this day and age when there's bad news at every turn. Mm-hmm. But I also think it's important not to put our heads in the sand and not recognize what's happening. For
100%. Sure. Yeah. And that was the thing. I was appreciative of Microsoft speaking out, even though I would have never, ever been like, wait a second, you're supplying them with their IT needs that this, but it's cool to see them have a statement, and it's nice to see people get riled up about this. If you haven't been reading about this, I urge you to go to your favorite news site and read about it, because it's horrifying to see these chain link fences and these children being shoved into them. And what is it? It's 2,000 children so far in the first like 60 days. You can kind of funny.com/wrong. You're wrong me on that.
Yeah, there's a bunch of numbers floating around. There was an off the record administration official who quoted that the number could be as high as 11,000.
Outrageous. Yeah. So look into it and then do what you want to do with that information. Like maybe contact your congressperson or remember it when you go to the polls. Number four, the World Health Organization is created this whole gaming disorder thing. They put this into the books here.
Could I roll my eyes a little bit harder?
Let's read about it, and then you can roll it as I read it. This is a long CNN thing because I wanted to get a lot of information in here. There were a lot of questions about this. Susan Scuddy at CNN writes, watching as a video game ensnares their child, many a parent has grumbled about digital heroin, likening the flashing image to one of the world's most addictive substances. Now they may have backup. The World Health Organization announced, quote, gaming disorder, end quote, as a new mental health condition included in the 11th edition of its International Classification of Diseases released Monday. Quote, I'm not creating a precedent, said Dr. Vladimir Pozniak. I hyphened it all out in my first read and I still screwed it up. Pozniak, a member of WHO's Department of Mental Health and Substance Abuse, which proposed the new diagnosis to WHO's decision-making body, the World Health Assembly. Instead, he said WHO has followed the trends and developments which have taken place in populations and in the professional field. However, not all psychologists agree that gaming disorder is worthy of inclusion in the International Classification of Diseases, known as the ICD. He said there are three major diagnostic features of characteristics of gaming disorder. Quote, one is that the gaming behavior takes precedent over other activities to the extent that other activities are taken to the periphery. The second feature is impaired controls of these behaviors. Even when the negative consequences occur, this behavior continues or escalates. A diagnosis of gaming disorder then means that a persistent or recurrent behavior pattern or of sufficient severity has emerged, according to the ICD. A third feature is that the condition leads to significant distress and impairment in personal, family, social, educational, or occupational functioning, Pozniak said. The impact is real, he said, and may include disturbed sleep patterns, like diet problems, like a deficiency in in physical activity. Overall, the main characteristics are very similar to the diagnostic features of substance use disorders and gambling disorders, he said. Gambling disorder is another category of clinical conditions which are not associated with a psychoactive substance, but at the same time considered being addictive as quote, millions of gamers around the world, even when it comes to the intense gaming, would never qualify as people suffering from gaming disorder, Pozniak said, adding that the overall prevalence of this condition is very low. Quote, and let me emphasize that this is a clinical condition, and clinical diagnosis can be made only by health professionals, which are properly trained to do that. Jumping ahead in the article, because again, I'm reading a long thing. It's even longer than this. Anthony Bean, a licensed psychologist and executive director at the Telos Project, a nonprofit mental health clinic in Fort Worth, Texas, counts himself as a member of the camp that opposes inclusion of gaming disorder in the ICD. Quote, it's a little premature to label this as a diagnosis, Bean said. I'm a clinician. That's not how you'd say that. Clinician? What am I saying?
Clinician is right.
Okay. I'm a clinician and a researcher, so I see people who play video games and believe themselves to be on the lines of addicted. In his experience, they're usually using gaming, quote, more as a coping mechanism for either anxiety or depression. How hard did you roll your eye through all that, Andrea?
Okay, so it's... I'm rereading this again.
Yeah.
Just to kind of like really wrap my head around what they're trying to say here. I'm rolling my eyes because it feels like... you could essentially swap out gaming for virtually anything on planet Earth.
Ding, 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 ding. Yes. TV, books, comics, whatever.
Yes.
Alcohol. I mean, like, yeah, you go into it.
Are we going to have like a comic book reading disorder? A movie watching disorder?
Yeah.
Like, it seems silly. Obviously, addiction is a very serious condition that needs to be treated as such.
And I feel you can be addicted to video games.
Yes, but like to like isolate gaming from other forms of media to say that it's a gaming disorder is, to me, I feel like they've kind of leapt to this conclusion without proper research. And like video games as a medium has been researched for the last three decades, and there's all kinds of studies about the effects of video games both psychologically and physically on the human body. But I just don't know why they're singling out video games. I think this in my mind, I'm going to take a leap here.
Sure.
And I'm calling this out as a leap.
Grab somebody next to you. We're taking a leap.
That with all of the talk about gambling and microtransactions in video games, this is just an easy scapegoat.
Sure.
To be like, oh, well, clearly video games are gambling and gambling is a disorder. So thus video games are a disorder.
We've heard
taking a leap.
We've heard the whole World Health Organization do this before, grapple with gaming and how to do it. I'm with you that I just feel like I'm not saying that you can't be addicted to games. I'm not saying your gaming time cannot ruin your life in many ways. It's just like, it does seem kind of flimsy of just like, well, yeah, you can be addicted to anything. Isn't this just addiction at this point, what we're talking about? And like, you have an addictive personality. So you sit down and you play WoW for a million hours and, you know, you're like Henry Cavill, who almost didn't miss the call to be Superman because he was in the middle of a raid. Like, that's how that works. Like, you can get to a point where video games are too much, you know? I don't know. It's interesting. It's in a book now. So there you go. It's part of that. I'm with Mr. Bean, though. It's a little premature. Final story is number 5. This could have been a deals of the day, but I put it here. PlayStation's bringing back those greatest hits, this time for PlayStation 4. That's right. They have a whole bunch of games they've announced at $19.99, including Bloodborne, Drive Club, Infamous Second Son, Little Big Planet 3, Doom, The Last of Us Remastered, Uncharted 4, Metal Gear Solid 5, Yakuza 0. There's another Yakuza there. It's Kiwami, I think. Project Cars. They're all in there. You can go get this. Of course, you remember from PlayStation 2 era, or PlayStation 3 as well, the Red Band PlayStation Greatest Hits. They're back, everybody. Congratulations. Now you have no excuse not to play The Last of Us Remastered.
It's true. Very good game.
Andrea.
Yes, Greg.
The Last of Us Remastered reminds me of The Last of Us Part 2 and when that game's coming out.
So far away.
It's very far away. We have a question about it later, so think about how far away. But also think about if you wanted to play games right now and know what came to the mom and pop shops, where you go?
I would go to the official list of upcoming software across each and every platform is listed by the Kind of Funny Games Daily Show host each and every weekday.
Yeah. Big Kev Dog, when are you going to come eat a cupcake, huh?
You want a cupcake, Kevin?
I'm tired.
You're tired. That's going to stop you from
some sugar.
Yeah, exactly.
Give you a little kick in the pants.
I ate too much sugar this morning.
What did you have that muffin, right?
Yeah.
We played a lot of Fortnite and then on the Switch, and then he had to go eat. We kept saying he's going to stop to go eat a muffin. He never did. He kept playing.
That's the thing. Video games are the best diet ever.
They're addictive. Oh, my God. It is a gaming disorder. Kevin didn't eat this morning because of his gaming disorder. Out today. Anima, Gate of Memories, The Nameless Chronicles on Switch, Ink on Switch, SteamWorld Dig 2 on PlayStation 4, The Lost Child on PlayStation 4, PS Vita, Switch. I think SteamWorld Dig is physical, because SteamWorld Dig 2 has been out for a while. It's physical. Yoku's Island Express, PlayStation 4, Xbox One, and Switch, Defense Task Force on Steam. Meanwhile, we got some new dates for you. Valkyria Chronicles Motherfucking 4 coming out September 25th. Get hype, everybody. Get fucking pumped. If you're at home right now, stand up, take off your pants, and cheer. Valkyria Chronicles 4, September 25th. PlayStation 4, Xbox One, Switch. PC maybe? I don't recall. I don't think so, but maybe. I saw the image today. Atlas put out. Had little things. You get controller skins. It's very exciting, everybody. I don't know if you're excited enough. Are your pants off? That's what I asked.
Don't know.
Ark Extinction will release worldwide November 6, 2018 on PlayStation 4, Xbox One, and Steam. The Spectrum Retreat is coming to PlayStation 4, Xbox One, and PC. You'll be able to get the upcoming first-person narrative puzzler on PlayStation 4 July 10th, then globally on Xbox One and PC July 13th, and then Switch later this summer. Harold Halibut is coming to coming to consoles and PC in 2019. So that's a ways out, but that's that game with like the claymation I wanted to get out there for you. Polygon was talking to the folks behind Dragon Quest XI. They say they are still working on Dragon Quest XI for Switch. There are many moving parts to it. It will be out one day. And then Lost in Harmony comes to Switch and PC Thursday, June 21st. Andrea?
Yes.
It's time for reader mail.
Let's do it.
But first, I'm going to tell you we're brought to you by two sponsors today. Number one, brooklinen.com. You spend a third of your life in your sheets. They make a difference with how you sleep. Start getting better sleep with the best sheets ever at brooklinen.com. These are the best, most comfortable sheets without a big markup. Andrea, Jen, myself, and Portillo sleep on these sheets every night. I love them. I missed them while I was at E3 in that Airbnb that was way too hot.
Right?
Right? Yeah, you know what I'm talking about. Have you used brooklinen.com sheets?
You know, I haven't yet.
Okay.
You know why?
Why?
Because the ones that I want are sold out.
Lame.
So I'm kind of waiting for them to come back in stock.
I understand that. But Brooklyn is the fastest growing betting brand in the world with over 15,000 five-star reviews. They were the best of online betting category for good housekeeping. They have versatile colors and patterns and more you can mix and match to complement any decor. You can get $20 off and free shipping when you use the promo code GAMES at brooklinen.com. Brooklinen is so confident that they offer a risk-free 60-night satisfaction guarantee and a lifetime warranty on all of their sheets and comforters. The only way to get $20 off and free shipping is to use the promo code GAMES at brooklinen.com. That's brooklinen.com. Promo code GAMES. Brooklinen. These are the best sheets ever. Meanwhile, we're also sponsored by MeUndies. I don't know how many times I can tell you I love MeUndies, but I'll keep doing it because they keep buying the ad space. I wear MeUndies exclusively. They're the only underwear I let touch my body. Why? Because they're super soft. They got cool patterns. They're awesome. They get delivered to your door. How many times have you walked into a Walgreens and started trying on the underwear in the aisle? And they're like, please, sir, don't do that.
Wait, no. With MeUndies,
you don't have to worry about that. They ship the underwear to you. And if you don't like them, they have a 100% satisfaction guarantee. If you just not like them, you end up keeping them and get your money back. MeUndies are great. Don't do the things that we're, don't try on underwear in stores. It gets you in trouble.
They're very comfortable.
And if you're already part of the MeUndies fam, tell your friends about it through their referral program. You'll get a discount and you'll get store credit. It's win-win. Well, MeUndies has a deal for you, listener. First-time purchasers get 20% off their first pair of MeUndies and free shipping. That's 20% off their first pair, free shipping, and a guarantee that you'll love them or your money back. Get your butt over to MeUndies.com and treat yourself to get your 20% off the first pair, free shipping, and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go to MeUndies.com/GamesDaily. That's MeUndies.com/GamesDaily. MeUndies. These are the best underwear ever. I didn't even say that. I said that for him. Marcus from Austria writes in to kindoffunny.com/KFGD and says, I have to ask you this. Since we haven't heard anything in terms of release date when it comes to Sony's first-party games, do you think The Last of Us Part 2 will still be a 2019 release? By the way, thank you so much for all your incredible E3 coverage. You guys are awesome. Can't wait for next year's coverage.
Marcus, did you forget that Sony announced that Days Gone is going to release on February 22nd, 2019? That's a release date.
Damn.
For first party.
Andrea just pinned you down.
I'm just saying, they announced that right before E3.
Sure. What do you think? So Last of Us Part 2, though, where do you put it? I've never said 2019 for Last of Us Part 2. I've always said it's a ways out.
Yeah, I'd say probably, let's call it May 2020.
Yeah. I could see him doing the original Last of Us launched in June when it, of its release
June
year.
June could be 2022.
Yeah, exactly. Here's what I'll do. I'll tell you right now, everybody. I'm playing what I like to call the long game, where I'm going to get batoned probably for the next 365 on this, where I think what's going to happen is I wouldn't be surprised if in interviews and stuff leading to PSX, somebody mentions Last of Us Part 2 2019. They say it's going to be 2019. And then everybody's just like fucking Persona 5 when you were all full of shit. Everybody points and laughs at me and tries to guilt me into saying, see, 2019, idiot. And then I bet it gets kicked to 2020. I think it's a 2020 game. I don't know. I don't know if Naughty Dog currently thinks it's a 2020 game or a 2019 game, but I say 2020.
Well, if Days Gone is coming out in Q1 2019, do you really want two zombie games from first party out in the same year? I mean, yeah. I think that they're both strong enough to stand on their own.
Yeah.
Clearly, like, TLU can release whenever they want, yeah, and they'll be fine. Yeah. But I don't know if Sony wants to put that kind of pressure on another first party title.
I hear so a fascinating question. So much that I'll drop the pen, untether myself from the desk,
all right,
and do the infamous cross leg.
Okay.
Days Gone, I think, is going to surprise a lot of people when it releases. And because I think that's a game you have to play to be like, oh, wow, this isn't Last of Us. This is way more, like I've said, this is like a open, no, that's not the right thing to say. This is a single player narrative State of Decay where I'm playing like in this open world and it's super fleshed out and it looks beautiful and I'm doing all these things.
I think you're doing that game a disservice by comparing it to State of Decay.
Okay. I mean, in the terms of go do what you want and have all this stuff. It obviously has a narrative, unlike State of Decay.
It definitely feels more open world than you think it does. I think that there's going to be a lot of narrative stuff happening in this game.
Oh, yeah. No.
But yeah, there's a hard RPG mechanic to Days Gone.
Yeah.
Yes, that does not exist in The Last of Us.
Yeah, exactly. And I think even playing it, like, I think it's just going to feel, when I came back from that first hands-on at Judges Week and was talking to people, they were all like, oh, wow, yeah, so how much does it remind you of Last of Us? And I was like, oh,
it never did.
I never played that thought of it. I thought more of a Days Gone or just an open world Horizon Zero Dawn that I'm running around doing.
They both have some type of infected, you know, enemy, and they both have humans that are trying to kill you.
Now, what gets interesting for TLU 2 coming into, let's say they were trying to put it out in 2019, is that I feel, yeah, they'd have to give it breathing space between these. Because even if it is, hey, we think this plays different and feels different, there's still the scuttlebutt of the people who didn't play it and just saw it. And I don't think, based on PlayStation's track record even, with this generation, that they would release TLU in the fall. And so then I definitely don't think TLU 2 is ready to go for a June release in 2019.
I don't even remember the last first-party PlayStation game that we got as like a holiday release.
Gran Turismo?
What was that? November 2016? This is a good you're wrong. KindFunny.com/you're wrong.
Last year, one of them limped out, didn't it? I don't know. The Gran Turismo games are like, you know, roaches. You step on one, another one.
I mean, like a tentpole AAA first party Sony game in holiday.
Yeah, like, I mean, we could reverse engineer it a different way, right? Uncharted 4 wasn't.
Nope. Horizon was in the spring.
Yep, exactly. I mean, Bloodborne, obviously.
Also in the spring.
We're playing fast and loose, but yeah. Yeah, it's been so long since they did that.
Shadow of the Colossus.
Ratchet and Clank
the spring,
they did, but remember Ratchet and Clank was the one they kind of... not. They just gave you a weird messaging. I don't think that counts.
I don't know if I'd call that like a tentpole first party game.
I agree with you. I'm just making sure that when these people argue with me, that they understand where I'm coming from.
Okay.
Yeah, so I don't know. I don't think so. And I'm still sticking to my guns, 2020. Last of Us Part 2. Lock it in. Neil Druckmann, I know you're listening. Kick up your feet. You got plenty of time.
He's like, oh, Greg, it'll all become clear.
I can't imagine being somebody who works in the video game industry, especially on a specific game, or even in just like how any of this works, and listening to us talk and be like, oh, these fucking idiots.
These jokers.
Where's my million followers? Bionic Hosh writes into kindoffunny.com/KFGD and says, good day, KFGD crew. Do you think that Ninja Theory, as a first-party Microsoft studio, will be expected to make AAA games, or did Microsoft acquire them to continue to make, parentheses, in Ninja Theory's own words, indie AAA games, so that games can be turned out quicker and alleviate Microsoft's console exclusive problem? Cheers from Australia. Please excuse the grammar. My kangaroo is a bit bumpy this morning. As if he's riding the kangaroo while writing the question, Kev. You see? Yeah, I knew you'd get there in the
kangaroo.
End. If I'm Microsoft and I buy Ninja Theory, I think I'm coming in to say, hey, here's more money and more resources to make the kind of games you guys want to make. I would think their next thing will be it'll be reminiscent to Hellblade, I think, in terms of quality and this indie AAA thing, but I think it'll be a step forward. But I don't think it's going to be jumping from Hellblade to Horizon Zero Dawn or something.
Oh, I wouldn't imagine that either.
Yeah.
I mean, they would have to dramatically expand the scope of what their studio does. I mean, look at their lead protagonist last year. She was an editor.
Yeah.
On their team who like stepped in to fill in for mocap one day, and then they're like, actually, do you want to star in this game? I mean, so like, I think that makes for a great story and really kind of showcases the creative powerhouse that Ninja Theory is. And it was obviously a fantastic acquisition by Microsoft. But yeah. I wouldn't want them to, you know, do a hard pivot in the style of games because what they're doing is so great right now.
Yeah, I think they're gonna let them be what they want it to be. Yeah. I don't think they're going to come in and like drag them and be like, you have to make huge games now. It's
that
like,
doesn't
totally
seem like Phil Spencer's MO.
Not at all. Ernie writes in to kindoffunny.com/KFGD and says, what's good? Kind of funny. Soul Calibur creators are catching heat from some news outlets regarding their sexy female characters. I know times have changed, but I don't see a problem with it. As a longtime Soul Calibur fan, the graphics and character designs don't bother me at all. The new slow down mechanic is really turning me off to the point where I don't think I'll buy it. It has nothing to do with the characters. Every video I watched, I didn't even notice the breasts are bigger or anything of that nature. It's just the slowdown mechanic that looks stupid and is aiming for the casual. But the game has already been pretty casual to begin with. So what are your thoughts on Soul Calibur? Are the sexy characters really that big of a deal?
Sexy characters in fighting games are nothing new.
Yeah.
I don't know why people are making a stink about it right now.
What he's talking about is over.
Every fighting game has girls in ridiculous costumes with their boobs flopping around. Like, that's just fighting games.
Over at Kotaku, Cecilia wrote, at E3, Soul Calibur's objectified women felt like a relic of the past. She talks through, and I read through the top of this article and then didn't get through all of it. Not because it's bad, just because of how busy we were. But basically, she's a fan of Soul Calibur and finally got a chance to sit down with the developers and ask them, like, why are you still hanging on to this? Like, why is this like the thing? She wants to like it more than she does, right?
Probably because their core base loves those characters, yeah. Right? Like, I mean, imagine going in and completely changing the look of every female character in a franchise. That's a huge deal to hardcore fans. You know, it's something that's not going to happen overnight. I think, you know, they maybe start walking back some of these costume options first, and then maybe take a look at the narrative backstory of these characters and if it makes sense for them to be sexualized with their stories,
yeah,
or if it doesn't. You know, like, just, you know, we talked in the panel that I did at E3 Coliseum with Laura Bailey and Sarah Lynn Smith from Blizzard, where you're talking about the She Talks Games initiatives. I spoke a lot about shoehorning in diversity for diversity's sake and how no woman wants to be like the token.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, this works both ways here. You don't want to shoehorn in modesty just for modesty's sake. It needs to make sense for the franchise. It needs to make sense for the characters. I've always been a giant proponent of agency for female characters in games, because I think that that's important. But that doesn't mean that there can't be sexuality and sex and sexy things in games.
You like Bayonetta, right?
Yeah, of course.
Isn't that one of the big parts of Bayonetta? She owns it.
Absolutely. And so I think, you know, when we talk about a game like Soul Calibur and the fighting game genre at large, like, this has always been part of it. And I think that these characters have always really projected a sense of strength and agency, at least, you know, the games that I play. And I understand why, you know, we're in a different era and why people are looking at it more closely. But, like, let's not just automatically leap to the other side and say we need to, you know, overcorrect. Let's correct where it makes sense to correct.
I understand. I think it's a good required reading to go read it, because even from where I dropped off, she, you know, I like this part where she's like, in my interview with Okubo, I felt that, I felt that I'd been presented with a golden opportunity to hear the response to a question I'd had for 12 years, a question about why a game I've loved still feels so off-putting to play. And so she goes in and asks the question, he gives a response, she doesn't buy it, and they go back and forth respectfully asking about it. And so it's an interesting thing of, yeah, it's what we always talk about, right, of you can look at something and not like it, not be for you, but it's still the artist's desire or the creator's agency to make that happen, right? They're still allowed to have that exist. It's just interesting to see somebody who's a fan of it be like, man, this has always been a turnoff for me, and then actually get to talk to the creators about why it is and why they've made these choices.
Yeah, no, I mean, like, that's the way I feel about it too. Like, when I was playing Soul Calibur at Judges Week, it was noticeable.
Yeah.
You know, and I was like, why are these girls like playing, wearing these crazy outfits?
Yeah.
You know, it seems so silly. But I mean, then again, all of the characters in fighting games wear crazy, weird outfits and have these wild backstories. And I've never been a fan of Soul Calibur, not to say that's a bad game. It's just, I've always, like, when it comes to fighting games, like, my heart is always with Mortal Kombat. So, like, and they have their fair share of girls in weird, crazy outfits.
Yeah.
You know, so it's just like, I get from a fan standpoint, she's like, hey, like, I want to love your game. I love playing your game. Why is this a thing? And, like, to just kind of get shut down and not be able to have a real conversation with the development team about it is a bummer.
Well, they go back and forth with it, so that's why I think it's interesting to see it happen, like, to actually have it out there. But, yeah, I guess it's what we're talking about here in a million other things as the industry continues to pivot and change, to be a fan of something and then look back and be like, well, I guess it never did, right? Like, in terms of, like, I've seen so many other games grow, evolve, and change, but this one is still, at least in this one aspect, doing the same thing. Why? Interesting, Reap. Go check it out. Ernie, I have no idea what you're talking about, the slowdown mode, because, yeah, I don't pay attention to Soul Calibur. At Judge's Week, I sat down, I played as Geralt, and I was like, all right, cool. I don't know. I have nothing to add. I don't know anything about this game.
But the real question, did you play on the fight stick or the gamepad?
The gamepad.
What, really?
Please, yeah. Okay. I am not. I mean, come on, Andrew. You know what I mean? I'm not going to go out there.
Yeah,
me. I don't know what the hell I'm doing. I'm not going to bother. I played a whole bunch of Divinity Original or Divinity 2.
Yeah.
Where I was like, fuck, this game's great. And I'm like, it's out on Xbox now. I'm like, yeah, I'll wait for the PlayStation version. But great.
Yeah.
D. Pavoni wrote in to kindoffunny.com/KFGD with the final question of the day and says, regarding BioDog's question yesterday, parentheses, did Bethesda just announce a game for 2025? I see that in Ray's Cyberpunk 2077, which is listed by Amazon UK as having a January 1st, 2030 release date. But seriously, when do you see Cyberpunk releasing? Andrea, I think that's a far away game.
Listen, I didn't prioritize seeing Cyberpunk at E3. Because there was too many games that I needed to get hands-on time with. And I remember sitting through 3 separate Witcher 3 demos 3 years in a row.
Yeah.
At E3.
You're like, I'll see this one good enough.
Oh, I'm going to see this game again. We're going to see this game several more times before it releases. I mean, quite frankly, like, let them take their time.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I'm in a rush. Looks great.
I think that they absolutely set the bar with The Witcher 3 and have garnered a bunch of goodwill and instilled faith in gamers that, hey, they're going to make sure it's done right.
Yeah.
Otherwise, they're not going to launch it. And that's the beauty of CD Projekt Red, is they've always kind of stood firm in their independence to say, hey, we're going to make games the way we want to make games. And I think that that's very admirable. So realistically, maybe holiday 2021 earliest.
Yeah, I think 2021, 2022.
I mean, so we're talking.
It's crazy, like, to say those words,
like,
and not picture a flying
away,
car.
3.5 years away?
Yeah. Yeah, but that's what I once I write it down, I think 21. 20,
who knows? Maybe it's going to be sooner. 22. Maybe it'll be spring 2021.
We'll see. Who the hell
don't
knows?
Think so.
Andrea, it's time to squad up. This is where one of you writes in to kindoffunny.com/KFGD. Give me your name, username, platform of choice, and why you need help in a video game. I read it here. The best friends come and find you. Everybody plays games together and has a good time.
Look how comically large this hat is.
I know. I gave you the red one to match your hair.
It's like a wizard's hat.
It is. That's how you celebrate a year anniversary. Today, Briegel Beak needs help in Fortnite. Briegel Beak says, I'm looking for squad up help to complete me. I'm just going to read. I'm looking for a squad to help me complete some more of these battle pass challenges, particularly raising that disco ball and playing with friends. Non-PlayStation locked friends only, though, as I play on Nintendo Switch. So, go into your start your Fortnite. Go into your Epic Games thing. Add this friend, Briegel Beak. BREEGULLBEAK. And then play some Fortnite. Kevin, we still playing at lunch?
Hell yeah!
We're going to roll Joey for the first time. How do you feel about that?
Scared.
Yeah.
Yeah, Joey. Yeah. Joestar! She got a battle pass.
Andrew, you bring your Switch?
I did not get the message, but also I can't today. I have two shoots right after this.
From now on, though, you know to bring your Switch here. We're back to that.
Okay, tomorrow maybe I can bring my Switch.
Perfect. Yeah, you're on tomorrow. You're the host again tomorrow. Starting year two of Kind of Funny Games Down. Andrea.
Yes.
Every show, we ask people watching live on twitch.tv/kindoffunnygames to go to kindoffunny.com/you'rewrong and tell us what we screw up as we screw it up so we can set the record straight for everybody watching later on youtube.com/kindoffunnygames and listening on podcast services around the globe. What did we screw up today?
There's a lot here today.
Was a lot of editorializing?
I think so. Let's see here.
Swear to God.
I don't know if this is a you're wrong, but Kebab says the best moment of KFGD was when Gary signed up to be the recurring host after Danny left live on the air.
Oh, that was cool. Yeah.
That was a good moment.
I mean, I'd hate to break your...
best moment, though? Kebabs, I'm going to give you this one because you are a regular contributor to You're Wrong.
I hate to break it to you, too. It was a staged moment. Like, we had a conversation off air about it. It wasn't really how we did that deal.
I feel like it was planned for, like, 2 weeks, too.
I don't think it was that much.
I think it was.
I think it wasn't. Was it that long?
Yeah, it was, like, 2 weeks beforehand. Because we knew Danny was leaving for a while, you know?
Yeah, but Gary came in to help us, and then he came in the next day, and then it was like, oh, that was... I thought it was just a week.
Maybe.
All right. What else?
Lord of Pwn says, and FYI, Rocket League doesn't have a shared account system like Fortnite, so the money excuse for crossplay with PS4 and other consoles doesn't hold up.
God damn it.
I don't think that makes sense the way he thinks it does.
He's saying that the...
I got it.
The reason crossplay would be blocked isn't because they want you to not buy the stuff.
No, that's definitely why it's being blocked. PlayStation, of course, wants you to buy everything in their ecosystem. And if you buy something in somebody else's ecosystem, you're not buying it in theirs.
Okay. Yeah.
So I don't know.
But it's just not.
I don't know what Lord Pwn is getting at here.
Since there's no account, I can't buy something on Switch and then have it on my PlayStation version of Rocket League. But I could buy it on Switch, stay on Switch, never go to PlayStation, never give them any money, still screw them out of money. He's just saying there's no Epic account for Rocket League, basically.
Right.
Just keep moving. It's fine.
Okay. Not going to do some mental gymnastics here to figure this out.
Kevin, I'm not going to lie to you. As you know, eventually the fan mail is going to be, you can get my paperwork from these shows, Kind of Funny Games Daily. The last 2 days, I've been crushing it with Superman symbols. Really good ones, guys.
Very good.
If you get these days.
Wit is making a comment about my statement that it wouldn't be easy for crossplay to happen. And the clarification I want to make here is you had said it seems important to note that Epic, you know, has already have the capabilities. It's not just about Epic or just about Rocket League. It's about the implication for literally every game on all of the platforms and what that means, not just for, you know, Psyonix and Epic Games, but literally every other publisher and developer of video games.
Hey, we're letting this one group do it.
Right.
That changes our policy, which now affects all these other people.
It changes their platform policy across the board. That's what I mean by it's not as easy as you think it is.
If you want another example of this, I recommend you go on the Hulu, which I've been using lately, and watch the Barbie documentary. Stick with me. I'm going somewhere on
okay.
this. Have you seen it?
No.
It started after Handmaid's Tale, and we just ended up watching the whole thing because it was great.
Okay.
But they make a great point of like, you know, like everything's so easy. This one, they're getting ready to introduce the different body size Barbies of like, you know, curvy Barbie, petite Barbie, all these different things. And she's and they make this great point that I never thought of like, cool, yeah, it sounds easy to do this. But keep in mind, one of the things with Barbie is that they all exchange clothes and can wear the same shoes and can fit into the car. And like you have to think suddenly about every door frame, every. And I was like, wow, yeah, I guess I never ever thought.
And the manufacturing plants too, right? Sure. The molds for those Barbie forms are all the same.
Sure, but you're like, ah, do it once and you're done. But then it's like, oh, no, that really does drastically change Barbie. And now I respect Barbie in a way I didn't before.
God, I love Barbies. Okay. Lord of Pwn says, late September is generally when the PS4 gets its big fall system software update. I don't know what this has to do with.
I think it was just pointing out when I was like talking about, I remember hypothesizing the name changes. Oh, and then the PS Now stuff. Just trying to give a window on maybe why that would be happening there. Again, not really, we weren't wrong about it. It's just they like to come in and drop these editorial facts as if it matters when it doesn't and nobody cares. Stop fucking doing it. Are we wrong? No? Fuck off then.
That PR guy says, it's been stated that no games that you buy content on one platform and use it on another. And I can think of one example, mobile games. Specifically, Fire Emblem Heroes. In this game, you can purchase premium currency for their gacha mechanic
gotcha.
In iOS or Android. And that currency is tied to the platform you purchase it on. Mobile is a good example. I think we were specifically talking about consoles, but thank you for that example. Addendum to the PlayStation Hits story okay. from Kebabs. The label is also coming to Europe, replacing the old Platinum label we had on previous hardware. Europe is also getting a PlayStation Hits PS4 Slim 1 TB bundle that comes with Ratchet, Uncharted 4, and The Last of Us Remastered for €349.99, or the equivalent of $400.
Okay, thank you.
The selection of PlayStation Hits, he continues, is also different for each region.
Cool.
Just an FYI.
Go to your local PlayStation blog to find out what your UK Sid Schumann has to say about this.
Dreezy says GT Sport was released October 17th, 2017.
Got it. Rang it up. Thank you. Kevin, put it on the board. I got that one.
Yep.
I'm getting high off this marker.
Kebab says Andrew's probably thinking of Uncharted Lost Legacy as the failed tentpole release. Were we talking about failed?
No.
No, I don't think so.
And I mean, really a tentpole.
Then a lot of other people writing in about Gran Turismo in October. Spider-Man, even though not first party, will be a major tentpole game coming this fall, but it's not. It's in September. It's not in holiday. September is not really considered the holiday window.
It's where it all starts sometimes.
Also, like, the fall begins on September 21st. Know your solstices.
It's also Poe's birthday, if you want to remember.
I forgot about the cupcake.
The Last Guardian was released on December 6th, 2016, which was the last, quote, major first-party title.
Okay, fair. Kevin, I'm just going all in.
Beyond Two Souls was November 26th, 2015. That's okay. I would definitely consider that a bigger game than The Last Guardian.
Agreed.
And not just because Alan Page was in it.
I interviewed her once.
This is interesting. Jericho says to the Ninja Theory, I'm just ignoring that. To the Ninja Theory question in a video of the Ninja Theory YouTube channel, Dominic Matthews and Tamim Antoniadis explained what's going on to change and why they decided to be owned by Microsoft. They want to have a bigger team, hundreds of people instead of currently have around 20, and a bigger budget, better marketing, research, and whatnot, while keeping the vision of being creative and doing whatever they wanted as they would have intended going independent. That's great.
Yeah, that is really great.
What are you looking at?
These cupcakes are awesome.
Are they? Check it out. I'm going to have one afterwards.
God damn, Kevin, get over here.
All right, I'm coming. You won me over, you son of a bitch.
Okay.
Hot name, everybody. The original 2-bite original. I guess it's called 2-bite, probably. Vanilla and chocolate cupcakes. They're made in a peanut-free facility, Kevin. So you got that going for you.
I love peanuts.
All right, Bobby Wasabi. I'm going to give you this one, even though I'm giving you an eye roll with it.
Oh, good.
Touching on objectification of women in fighting games, this can't be a universal claim for all games in the genre. Obviously. pardon me from insinuating that I was making an umbrella thing about every fighting game in the FGC. The new Smash Bros., for example, tones down sexual details such as a Zero Suit Samus's boob size from the previous game and, unfortunately, Snake's voluptuous booty from Brawl.
And that's why I won't be buying it. No booty, no buys, what I say, Kevin.
Lord of Pwn says, fuck, forgot about Uncharted 3 November 2011. Maybe because Uncharted 2 was better? Question mark?
Okay, that's not that crazy. All right.
Okay. And he says, Rocket League thing, right now you can't buy something on PC for Rocket League and then have that thing on other platforms. Each platform has its own marketplace, no shared account like Fortnite.
Mm-hmm. Crazy.
All right.
So literally they're trying to like rewrite everything that platform spending is about. Be like, spend it on Xbox and play it on Switch.
These sons of bitches.
Dude.
That's it?
That's it. We did it.
I just inhaled a sprinkle.
Do you want me to close the show?
No, I got it.
Okay.
Ladies and gentlemen. This has been Kinda Funny Games Daily's 1 year anniversary. Thank you so much for joining the party.
If
you're
at
home, go get some 2-bite cupcakes because they're really good. These did not make noise. We were bamboozled. Thank you, obviously, for an amazing first year of this. I can't tell you how this show has been above and beyond our wildest expectations in terms of an audience, in terms of numbers, in terms of support, in terms of the industry adopting it and taking it on. It means so much to us. Obviously, Andrea, thank you so much for everything you've done for it. I like that you are here on the 1 year anniversary as if we planned it. And it wasn't that I was on the train today and somebody tweeted me it was the 1 year anniversary. It's like, fuck, we should do something. And you did all this. You made all this happen. You're a great contributor. I don't tell you that enough.
Thank you very much, Greg.
Ladies and gentlemen, you can watch this show live as we record at twitch.tv/kindoffunnygames. You can watch it later on youtube.com/kindoffunnygames. You can listen on podcast services around the globe. Remember, Kinda Funny Prom is next week. Come to San Francisco, June 30th. Kindoffunny.com/tickets. Kevin's going to be there. You gonna wear a nice suit?
Yep.
Awesome.
It's a tux.
Awesome. I saw you've been teasing your dress.
Oh my gosh. It's better than I could have imagined.
I'm starting to get alarmed because my suit is in the mail.
Oh yeah?
I'm like, I better get here soon because I'm sure it's gonna need alterations, but we'll see.
Yeah. Well, if you need somebody, I've got a girl. She's great.
Okay. She fast.
She can be for the right price.
Uh-huh. All right.
Money buys almost anything these days.
Ladies and gentlemen, until next time. It's been our pleasure to serve you.